The eggs you had for breakfast this morning were likely laid by chickens in cages at a commercial poultry operation. But some of you got your eggs straight from the chickens living in your backyard. Fans of backyard chickens say that hens, no roosters please, can be kept in urban environments without disturbing the neighbors. Some neighbors have their doubts, but chickens already roam backyards in some East Central Illinois communities. And the Champaign City Council votes on rules for keeping chickens next week. I'm Jim Meadows. Today on Focus, we'll talk with some backyard chicken fans, plus a U of I extension expert and a city official from Carbondale, where backyard chickens are legal. Our program continues after the news. Welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. There was a time when keeping chickens in the city was pretty common, but over the past century or so, livestock have generally been regulated out of cities, and especially out of residential areas. But urban poultry is making a comeback. Here in East Central Illinois, if you follow the rules, you can keep chickens in Urbana, Normal, Monticello, Decatur, and over in Springfield as well. And next week, the Champaign City Council is holding a study session on new proposed rules allowing backyard chickens. A final vote could come in December. Today on Focus, we're going to talk about keeping chickens in the city with supporters of the concept, including a poultry expert from the U of I Extension, official from the city of Carbondale, where chickens are already allowed. Right now, let's talk to a Champaign resident who's worked a little bit with chickens and hopes to be keeping chickens soon if the city council there approves proposed rules to do so. Karen Carney, and she has her own Facebook page on the subject called Champaign Chickens, if you want to go look it up. Karen Carney, welcome to Focus.
Thank you.
What got you interested in wanting to keep chickens of your own?
Well, I think it's been a gradual move for me. You know, over the past few years, I've done a lot of reading, you know, tried to live more sustainably, eat more sustainably. And that was a large driver. So, you know, reading books like The Omnivore's Dilemma and thinking about the impact of factory farming, especially. So, but I think the thing that really hooked me was listening to a piece by WILL's own Lisa Braltz, who had a nice essay on keeping backyard chickens. And there was something about hearing the clucking of the hens that just really pulled me in. And I think at that moment, I decided, like, this is really pretty silly that you can keep chickens in Urbana, but you can't keep them in Champaign.
Okay. Have you looked into what the nuts and bolts of keeping chickens would be?
Sure. And it's not as difficult, I think, as a lot of people think. You know, most people are familiar with large-scale poultry operations, and it's an entirely different proposition to just have a few backyard chickens, you know, in a small coop. And one of the things that I always tell people is, you know, I don't want to have a lot of eggs. I just want enough for my family and maybe a few for my neighbors, and that's actually relatively easy to accomplish.
Some people claim that chickens in urban backyards are too messy, too noisy, that they cause an odor. What's your reply to that?
Again, I think most people's sense of that is based on large-scale poultry operations. You don't want to get too close to a large-scale poultry operation in terms of smell, but it is very different when you're keeping them in your own backyard. You're obviously motivated to make sure that the coop is kept clean, and you're not going to... You know, I want to be a good neighbor, and part of being a good neighbor, I think, is also taking care of your yard and your chickens, and just like it's taking care of any pet that you would own.
And I guess we should point out that the rules that I see in most communities and the ones being drawn up in Champaign pretty much say hens only, no roosters.
That's correct. And it's, you know, I've talked to people who have roosters, and I think it's, you know, a lot of it depends on, you know, the nature of your lot and your neighbor's tolerance of that. But I think in Champaign, they have made that decision.
They've been talking, they've been working on putting together the rules, which will be discussed at a Champaign City Council study session, I believe, next Tuesday. And I understand that you attended a public meeting that city officials held on.
That's correct.
What do you think of the rules?
I actually think they look pretty reasonable. So it's, you know, there are just some basic recommendations about the size of the coop, you know, to ensure, I think, adequate living space for the hens, minimum size for the run, the location of the coop, a certain distance from your neighbor's dwelling, which I think also makes sense. You don't want to build something that's right up against the fence. And that's the other thing, a setback from the property line.
So you're really going to have a yard of a certain size.
Actually, not at this point. The recommendations are that as long as you have the appropriate setback, which is 5 feet from the property line, and, you know, the location of the coop is, I think, 25 feet from your neighbor's dwelling, then.
Is there any, in the rules you've seen, is there any avenue for people to file complaints if they think that?
Absolutely, yes. And that's, you know, that's one of the points that you know, I've made a number of times. You know, we have nuisance ordinances, we have animal welfare ordinances already on the books. And so if you really do feel that something wrong is going on, you have a way to lodge those complaints.
Now, you're not the only person in Champaign who supports being able to keep chickens. I understand you were telling me about a little group. Are they really called Cluck?
That's right. There is a group. So there's a Facebook group called Cluck, and I have a mailing list of about 60 people, I think, that I've been communicating with. And, you know, I wouldn't say that all of them are ready to run right out and build their coop, but I think that a good many of them actually are interested.
I had understood that there had been efforts before to bring backyard chickens into Champaign, and they did not succeed, obviously.
That's correct.
Why do you think this one, I mean, the city council has already voted to let the rulemaking process begin, but why do you think it's gotten this far this time?
I think a lot of it is looking at other communities that have adopted backyard chicken ordinances and recognizing that those do seem to work. You know, I think that the big concern for Champaign was really not creating conflicts among neighbors. And I think that they've seen that in other communities like Evanston, there have been no complaints whatsoever. So,
okay. You're up. Do you think that the Champaign City Council will approve the rules that you've seen laid out?
I certainly hope so. I think they look pretty reasonable. And, you know, I think that they're trying to do a pretty good job of monitoring who has the chickens. They're talking also about a one-time fee that people would have to pay. And I think that could actually be a useful thing just in terms of, you know, making people stop and think, is this really something that I'm ready to do?
Well, Karen Carney, thank you for joining us
Sure.
on the program today.
Thanks.
We'll see what happens next week before the Champaign City Council. Karen Carney lives in Champaign. She would like to keep some chickens there if the city council will allow it. If you have some comments on keeping chickens in urban areas, give us a call now. If you've done it yourself, even if you've only done it in the country, please call us and tell us about it. Or if you think it's really not a good idea, let us know at 1-800-222-9455. Our toll-free number, 1-800-222-WILL. And you can email us at WILL-talk@illinois.edu. Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reported on this issue back in August. And let's play a clip from that report right now.
You want a tomato?
It's feeding time for Jill Miller's chickens in Urbana. She raises them for the eggs in her backyard, and she says she's grown attached to her birds.
Blair is the smartest one. Tootie is like the sweet one. And Natalie is bossy.
I mean, they're beautiful, but, you know, I like them on the farm, on the grill, or in the pot.
That's Urbana resident Carl Sheps. He lives about a mile from Miller. His next-door neighbor is raising hens, and he says he's put up with odor problems and birds winding up in the middle of the street or in his yard. All this, he says, has hurt the value of his home. As we talk, Sheps looks over the fence to his neighbor's yard, and a hen walks across the grass.
So you can see what the yard looks like, a real mess, and it smells.
And that's an excerpt from Sean Power's report from last August on proposals to keep chickens, in this case, in Champaign. We heard from someone who keeps chickens, and we heard from someone who would rather not see chickens in his neighborhood. We're going to continue the conversation now with two more guests, one of whom does keep chickens in Urbana. And that's Colleen Wagner. Welcome to Focus.
Hi, thank you.
And how long have you been keeping chickens?
I've kept chickens for about 2 years now. I started when my husband and I bought a house, but we had been thinking about keeping chickens for a few years before we actually built a coop and ordered the hens. My husband's aunt raised chickens in the middle of town in Quincy, Illinois. So going over to their house and seeing that it actually, you know, wasn't that big of an operation, and hearing them talk about how easy it was to keep hens and how many eggs they were getting really influenced our decision to keep chickens.
Okay, how many hens do you have?
I currently have 6. I had 9 earlier this year, though.
What part of the city are you in?
I am in East Urbana.
Okay, so a lot of other residential, a lot of other houses nearby?
Yeah, several of my neighbors have chickens. I think there are 3 or 4 houses just on my block that keep chickens.
Really?
And I can think of, you know, a dozen other folks that keep chickens within walking distance of my house.
If someone who's walking past your house, are they going to hear the hens?
No, my chickens currently stay in my backyard. I've had a little bit of an issue with them getting out into the front yard in the street, but we built a new pen for them earlier this year. But they're generally very quiet. Occasionally they'll make some sounds when they're laying eggs. And I did have an issue where I mistakenly got a few roosters, so they were a little bit loud, but I talked to all of my neighbors about them, and most of them actually enjoyed the crowing. I didn't so much, so.
Okay. Also with us on the program and returning to Focus, Steve Ayers. He's an educator with the University of Illinois Extension, and his specialty is local food systems and small farms. Well, last time you were on the show, we were talking more in the area of small farms, not livestock. But here we are talking about keeping chickens. And Steve, I was wondering, of course, there are big commercial chicken operations, but are there a lot? Do you work with a lot of people in urban areas who are keeping chickens?
Well, there just seems to be a good deal more interest, and particularly from Champaign. And, of course, Urbana's had chickens for as long as I can remember. So obviously it's a very popular topic right now, and so there's a number of people that are exploring it, especially in Champaign.
How much of a big project is it to keep your own chickens? Is it more involved than, say, you know, keeping the same number of, say, of cats or dogs, or a larger bird like a parrot or something?
Well, like any other pet, you have to make that commitment that it's 24/7, 365. You have to check on the chickens at least twice a day. Usually you'll lock them up at night and then have them out in the morning, primarily because there are a number of predators that you have to be careful for. But, you know, you talk to backyard chicken raisers, and gosh, a lot of the neighbors don't even know they have them. So there is a especially on the small flocks.
With 6 chickens, Colleen, how much time do you spend looking after them?
I would say on a day-to-day basis, I probably spend less than 20 minutes, you know, checking their water, letting them out, and locking them up at night. And then about once a month, I do go through and do a coop cleaning, just making sure that their bedding is nice and dry and clean. But other than that, they're very easy pets. I also have a few dogs, and the dogs definitely take a lot more effort than the chickens.
How do the dogs get along with the chickens?
They actually get along really well. I have 2 herding dogs, a Blue Heeler and a Welsh Corgi, and the Corgi wants them to be in their enclosure, so she'll actually try to herd them back into there, and the Heeler just ignores them. So she was pretty interested in them when I first got them, but it was fairly easy to train her to stay away from the chickens.
And that's a tricky thing, Steve. I don't know if all dogs can be depended on to be okay with chickens.
That's something you have to really be careful about, because even a family pet can sometimes revert to natural instinct. And the chickens are a curiosity, and sometimes they're not even trying to hurt them, but they actually can devastate a flock.
Colleen, do you keep the chickens chiefly for the eggs?
Yes. That was our motivation in getting them. I also enjoy sitting in my backyard and watching them scratch around in the dirt and find bugs.
How are the eggs compared to any eggs you would buy in a store, including, say, organic eggs? And
They're great. I would say they're on par with, you know, the small organic operations that are around here that you can buy eggs from. I feed my chickens primarily organic feed from a grain cooperative around here, and I buy it at the food co-op. And they also get a lot of kitchen scraps, and then, of course, going around the yard and getting bugs and garden scraps and all of that makes for some really tasty eggs.
Well, Steve, maybe you know about the bottom line here. If you're keeping a small number of chickens, you know, not counting the cost of your own labor, is it worth the money just in terms of the eggs?
Well, I think you're not looking strictly at the bottom line because there are a number of other aesthetic values. As far as work at the University of Maryland indicated that this is four hens over 3 years. They put together a budget, and it runs a little over $600, and that includes the coop, the feed, and fencing. And it came out to about $2.91 a dozen for about 209 dozen eggs over that three-year period.
I don't know what the price of eggs is right now. $2.91 a dozen for fresh eggs. How does that compete with stuff in the store?
I think with certified organic eggs, it's actually a little bit lower. I work at Common Ground Food Co-op, and we sell several different farms' eggs, and they're generally a lot higher than that. I think they're around $4 a dozen, $3.50 maybe.
So if you were just buying plain, regular variety eggs that you would find in any supermarket, you might be paying a little more for the stuff you put into it. But in terms of the sort of eggs that you're looking for, and noting in mind that they are fresh, that makes a difference?
Yes, I think that makes a very big difference. I also really enjoy knowing how the chickens were treated when they were, you know, laying the eggs. I haven't bought commercially produced eggs in several years because I've had chickens or neighbors have had chickens. And knowing that the chickens are able to free range and eat decent quality food and generally live a pretty happy life while they're doing their laying I like that for my own self.
Let me go take a call right now. This is line four, caller from Belgium, Illinois. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Good morning to you all. I have another point to be made. You say it's only chickens, but how about ducks? Obviously, you don't want guineas because nobody wants a guinea. They're horrible birds to have around. We had guineas around our place several years ago, and they got out. And there was only one way to get them back, and that was to shoot them, because they would not come back. but you don't keep ducks, you don't keep guineas, and you don't keep pullets for meat. You're not allowed to do that either. Are all these things restricted in this organization?
Well, that raises a question from town to town. I understand that in the city of Urbana, there is no specific ordinance allowing chickens. It's just that they're not forbidden as long as they are not a nuisance. So in Urbana, I guess it would be okay to keep other types of fowl. Again, as long as they didn't prove a nuisance to the neighbors. Is that your understanding, Colleen?
Yes, and I know a few people who have kept ducks within the city limits of Urbana without any problems.
And maybe I should bring Karen Carney back in. The ordinance that is being looked at in Champaign only says chickens. Is that correct?
That's right. Just hens, actually.
Okay. And I was looking at the status quo ordinance. Many cities, and Champaign is certainly one of them, already forbid everything, I guess. Champaign is, you know, strangely specific, but, you know, things like ocelots and cheetahs, not allowed. But then it says pretty much any other animal like them. So I think a lot of ordinances, and we'll be talking with a Carbondale city official who can tell us about that town's ordinance later in the program. But there is, I guess, I guess there is a matter of whether anything else would be allowed. But in a lot of but in a lot of other cities, they've just made a special exception for chickens. Do you are ducks more problematic? Do you think other fowl are more difficult to keep than chickens, Colleen?
I'm not really sure about keeping other types of fowl. The people that I do know that keep ducks, I've heard that they're a little bit louder than hens tend to be, but not to the point where it's really a problem.
Steve, what about other fowl? I mean, for practical considerations, if you're keeping ducks or geese or whatever else is out there, how feasible is it in the city?
I think that totally depends upon the local officials and local zoning. And, of course, in the country, you can keep anything. So, people keep game birds and ducks and geese. And that's totally dependent on local control.
Let's take another call. This is on line one. We're talking to Scott. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Great program. Had a couple of questions and a couple of comments, I guess. I wondered what you did with your chickens when they got inefficient at laying. The last time family members did chickens, that was, you know, kind of ended up being the coup de grace there. And, I've seen a lot of them roaming the streets in my part of eastern Urbana. And, just sort of an admonishment for people to really make sure that they can take care of these animals before they get them, because I've heard complaints about bird feeders being ravaged in the neighborhood and stuff like that. They're also pretty hard on a lawn, and so I wondered how often Colleen kind of rotated her enclosure area, like a good urban rotation for the chicken farm, as it were, would be. So I guess that's all I've got. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Scott. And Colleen, if I can ask you, first of all, you've only had your chickens a couple of years. I don't know how many laying years a hen usually has.
I think it depends on the individual hen, but I believe around 3 years they start slowing down. My chickens haven't really started slowing down yet. My oldest ones are only 2 years old, so I haven't had to really think about what I'm going to do when they do stop laying yet.
So you don't know if you'll just keep them as pets or?
I don't imagine that I will. I think I'll probably butcher and eat them. So.
Okay. You don't have a problem with that?
No, I don't. And that is the end that a few of the roosters that I've ended up with have met. So
now that raises another question about can you do that within the city of Urbana?
I'm not sure if you can do it within the city of Urbana. I generally take mine to a friend's farm. I haven't been able to find any clear ordinance on that. So
okay. Yeah. I'm going to turn to Karen Carney again. If you know that the proposed rules of the city of Champaign say anything about butchering an animal in the city limits.
I don't know. I mean, I know that there are rules, you know. I mean, this is something that happens when people go out and hunt deer as well. I mean, my guess is that there are people who probably butcher deer in their garages. The important thing is that they can't do it within view of the street. And I think that, you know, that's probably something that would be tolerated currently.
And perhaps I'm thinking of the actual slaughter of the chicken.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anybody who's really interested in raising chickens for meat production in terms of, you know, this kind of once it's, past its laying years. I think we'll be a few years from that. But my sense is that, you know, some people are horrified at the thought of eating their pets, and then other people have no problem whatsoever, you know, saying it's just part of the life cycle.
Steve Harris, I'm wondering, is this a question that comes up from people who are asking you about this? What do you see happening as far as what happens ultimately to chickens kept in backyards?
It's obviously a fairly rare event. And so really a lot of times people will just go to a friend's farm and have a Sunday afternoon chicken slaughter and everyone goes home happy.
I know that some months ago, NBC News put out a story, which was certainly on their website, and I saw it circulating around. I think a rather dismissive story of reports of tender-hearted hipsters who were essentially surrendering their chickens to animal shelters because they weren't laying eggs anymore, but they didn't have the nerve. They didn't really have the courage to kill them. And I don't know if chickens do show up at animal shelters or what happens to them then.
I believe locally the shelter is not set up to take fowl. But, you know, with Craigslist, Facebook, usually if someone wants to find a new home for their chickens, it's usually not that difficult to find someone that's willing, because there are a number of flocks that both are in the city and throughout the area.
Colleen, how complicated is slaughtering and butchering a chicken?
It was a little bit more complicated than I was thinking it would be. I kind of taught myself through YouTube videos, so but it really was not as, you know, not a terrible thing to be doing.
You feel you can do it now?
Yeah.
Does it take a lot of special tools?
Or? No, really no special tools at all. Sharp knife and, you know, cleaning supplies is basically the most important.
This is not the first thing that comes up when people talk about keeping chickens in the backyard, but it is going to be a part of the process in a lot of cases, it sounds like.
Right. And I would like to point out that I have also gotten rid of a rooster through Craigslist. I was able to find a, you know, small family farm. Some grandparents wanted a rooster so that their grandchild could raise chickens for a 4-H project. So, and that was a pretty easy process. I think I posted my rooster on Craigslist with a picture on, you know, a Tuesday, and he was picked up and out of my life by Friday.
Okay. One last thing before we go to the break, and that was a tweet we got from Lisa, and maybe this is sort of the counterpart to complaints about chickens making a mess and causing an odor, is the benefits of chicken manure or chicken droppings as a fertilizer. Is that something that you make use of, Colleen?
Yes. I compost all of my the bedding that is in my coop. And as of now, my garden's doing fairly well with it.
Okay, that stuff really works, huh?
Yeah, it does. It does need to be composted. I think that if you just add chicken manure uncomposted to a garden bed, it'll burn the plants out. But once it's composted, it's a really great fertilizer.
Okay. So keeping chickens so far more complicated than, say, growing geraniums. But it sounds like there are some definite benefits if you enjoy the work.
Yeah, I would say so.
Let's take a break now, and we will continue our conversation about backyard chickens. And expect to be talking to a Carbondale city official about their backyard chicken rules when we come back. This is Focus on WILL. Welcome back to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows here in WILL, and we are talking about chickens in the backyard, about keeping chickens in urban settings, something which you can already do in a few communities in this part of Illinois. Some of the towns where you're allowed to keep chickens include Urbana, Springfield, Normal, Decatur, out in Peoria, I believe, as well, and Monticello. And the city of Champaign will be looking at rules for keeping chickens at their meeting next week, and a final vote could come up in December. With me on the program today, we're talking with Colleen Wagner. She keeps chickens in Urbana. And Steve Ayers, who is an educator with the University of Illinois Extension. And right now I'd like to bring in another guest on the program, and that is Chris Wallace. He is the Development Services Director for the city of Carbondale down in Jackson County in southern Illinois. And Carbondale has had an ordinance regulating keeping backyard chickens for a while now. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
And how long has there been a chicken ordinance in the city?
The ordinance was passed in February of 2012, so we're almost 2 years in.
Before that, were chickens strictly forbidden?
Yes, chickens, all livestock, was prohibited within the city limits.
Okay. How did the come about? How did this ordinance come about? Were the people who had an active interest in doing this?
Yeah, there was a small group of people who wanted to raise chickens. They inquired about the ordinance, and they found out that they couldn't, so they approached the city council and requested that staff look into it. Of course, it went through a couple committees, and there was fairly lengthy discussion, but after probably a couple years and a change in administration, the ordinance finally was adopted.
The earlier administration was not warm to the idea?
That's correct, yeah. We had an election, and there was some changeover on our city council, and it became looked at a little more positively than it was before.
Okay. And I'm wondering, you know, in southern Illinois, there aren't any really great big cities there. Are there other communities which allow and regulate chickens in backyards?
You know, I think some of the other communities just allow them by default in that they're not prohibited.
Okay, but in your case, there's a specific regulation. What? How many chickens are you allowed to keep in Carbondale?
We allow 6 hens.
Okay, hens, no roosters again.
No roosters or no crowing hens as well.
Okay, crowing hens. This is a new thing to me. Colleen, have you had this experience?
I've never had a problem with crowing hens. And I actually, none of my close friends who have chickens have ever had a hen that's crowed, but I have heard of it.
Okay. Chris, I'm wondering, what regulations do you have in terms of the size of the yard or setbacks and things like that?
Yeah, a lot of our ordinance deals with, you know, location of the coop on the property. Right now, we've got a 15 feet from the property line. It can't be located within 25 feet of your neighbor's house. And then there's regulations that regulate the size of the coop itself. It cannot exceed 40 square feet. It can't be more than 8 feet in height. And there's also some minimum requirements as well.
Steve Ayers, I'm wondering, when you hear those dimensions for the size of a coop, is that an acceptable size for keeping chickens as far as you're concerned?
Kind of the rule of thumb is 2 square feet per adult bird.
Okay, so if you got 6, is that enough then?
Yes, I think it'd be.
Okay. With the ordinance in now a couple of years, do you have any idea how many people are indeed keeping chickens in Carbondale, Chris?
Yes, we require an annual license. So we keep track of the number of licenses out there, and we do annual inspections as well. So right now we have 16 active licenses.
Okay. And licenses, I wish Karen Carney was still with me as our expert on the Champaign rule to see if they are doing that there. Urbana, where they're pretty much allowed by default, Colleen, I understand, is that no license required.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there a fee for the license, Chris?
There is. It's a $10 annual fee.
Okay. Is there a process a complaint process for people who are worried about noise or mess or odors from chicken? And how would you measure how much is, you know, too much of a nuisance?
Yeah, the odor is pretty subjective, depending on the, you know, the temperature and which way the wind's blowing, it may differ. But if somebody has a complaint, they can call our neighborhood inspection department, just like you would for any other complaint, and we can send somebody out and take a look at it and you know, provide some sort of remedy. Although we haven't had too many complaints, so it really hasn't been an issue.
Okay. When this process was being drawn up, did people voice concerns that there might be problems?
It was a small handful of people who were apprehensive, I would say, just not knowing exactly, you know, what it means. And I think, you know, maybe had experience with a greater volume of chickens.
Okay.
At this scale, having 6, you know, you don't get the odors. You don't get a lot of the, you know, the problems associated with the raising of, you know, a larger number.
Does your city have a ceiling on how many licenses for keeping chickens can be handed out at any one time?
We do. Right now it's capped at 20 licenses.
Okay, so there's room for 4 more right now.
Correct.
Okay. And after that, is that 20 licenses for the entire town? Once you max out, do you think that's going to be it? Or do you think you would look at it in a review and see if it's feasible to keep more in the city?
Well, we put the cap on because we weren't sure how this was going to go over. We didn't want it to blow up in our face if we had an unlimited amount of licenses and all of a sudden there was more interest than we knew. We wanted to be able to regulate it and kind of give it a trial run to see how it worked. The council did at that time when they placed the cap on of 20. You know, so give it a couple of years, and if we've got to come back and raise that number, that's something that they would look at doing. So if we ever get to 20, I think the council would be amenable to increasing that number.
The licenses that you have out there, are they spread throughout the town, or have they tended to show up in one particular part of the city?
I'd say they're pretty well spread out. I think each, you know, we're divided into quarters, and I think each quarter or quadrant of the community has a fair number of licenses.
Okay. You know, I went to college in Carbondale many years ago, and of course there is one area in particular which is where the student housing is concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say a lot of it is apartments, but maybe not all of it is. Are there any college students keeping chickens?
There probably are. The way the ordinance was written, the licenses are limited to single family residences only. So if you live in an apartment complex or a townhome, you would not be allowed to have a license.
Or a house that's been split into apartments, it would be out of the way. Even though they had a yard, it would not be allowed there?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I understand, I don't know exactly what Champaign is doing with their proposed rules. I understand they've looked at yours and they looked at Evanston, the Chicago suburb up in Cook County. Have you been contacted? Have you spoken with any Champaign City officials about how your rules work?
We've had brief conversations, you know, about our ordinance and how it's gone over, but nothing really in detail.
Okay. Right now, the Carbondale rules only talk about hens and chickens. No other livestock or fowl at this point.
Right. That's correct.
Okay. Are there any rules about slaughtering or butchering the animals within the city limits?
Yeah, there is a line in the ordinance that says you cannot slaughter the chickens within the city limits.
Okay. I'm wondering, talking with Steve Ayers from the Extension, is that pretty common from what you've seen out there as far as limits in city rules? Or?
I think most of the time that's probably not even addressed.
Okay. But it sounds in Carbondale you made a particular rule on it.
Yeah, I think with our ordinance we were probably erred on the side of caution. We're maybe a little more thorough than some other communities have been.
Okay. I'm looking at an email now from Matt, and one thing they were wondering is you know, the danger of disease that might be spread by chickens. Are there any... is there any language in your particular ordinance that addresses health concerns and the possible spread of disease?
Well, other than, you know, requiring that they be kept, you know, a clean sanitary enclosure, that the coop be kept clean, and that any waste be, you know, properly disposed of, you know, there really isn't anything more specific than that.
Okay. Steve Ayers, I wanted to ask you about that. Are there things that people really need to pay attention to as far as, you know, as far as the risk of any diseases that might be spread by chickens?
Well, probably what's known as Newcastle's disease was there was an outbreak in 2002 to 2003 in California that actually did start at a backyard flock in California. And as a result, 30 million birds were destroyed. And it was quite an economic impact to the whole poultry industry.
Now, that was a disease spread among chickens to chickens.
Chickens to chickens, yes.
Are there anything that can jump in, anything that chickens carry that are that might be in the droppings or even through the eggs in the wrong conditions that could harm people?
Well, of course, salmonella, which, you know, we had that case up in Iowa at one of the major facilities. So you always have to be on the lookout for salmonella, which does affect human.
Okay. Chris Wallace with the City of Carbondale, I wanted to thank you very much for being on the program today. And, of course, your ordinance in Carbondale is one of the ones that folks in Champaign have been looking at as they design their chicken ordinance. which will be coming up before the Champaign City Council next week. But it sounds like you feel you have a workable ordinance in Carbondale.
We do, yeah. It's been, you know, very well received, and the regulations don't seem to be much of a hindrance on those who want to raise them. So we really haven't had any complaints about the ordinance itself or the execution of it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and take care down there in Carbondale.
Okay, thank you.
This is Focus on WILL. I'm Jim Meadows, and we are talking about keeping chickens in the backyard with Colleen Wagner, who keeps chickens in her backyard in Urbana, and with Steve Ayers with the University of Illinois Extension. And we have just a reminder, we will be leaving the program a little bit early at around 10:53 to listen to today's installment of The Changing Military, and that's part of the documentary series being produced by students at the Uni High School here in Urbana. Right now, let's take a phone call from Marlene from Urbana. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Good morning. Thank you for the program. I was just calling when you apparently were addressing what I was calling about, partially. My question was regarding the disease issue. And if the county board does do yearly inspections, you know, hopefully paid for by this licensure fee, do they include, you know, the health of the chickens also? And then another issue was regarding disease and the droppings, because we had a friend in California who used to always get chicken manure for her garden, and she got this horrible infection on her nose. It was a skin-eating thing. And I don't know if it was a virus or a fungus, but very, very difficult for her. So I was wondering if any of those issues had been addressed also.
Okay. And I don't know. Now, of course, Colleen, you use the manure as fertilizer in your yard, but you haven't had any bad health effects that you've seen.
Right. I haven't had any bad health effects at all.
Does your facility, does it have to be inspected by, say, the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District or anything like that?
No, I don't believe that Urbana's ordinance require that at all.
Okay. Steve, what are good practices as far as preventive maintenance and keeping chickens?
Well, probably keeping the bedding dry, and bedding is very popular as far as straw, sawdust. What do you use?
I use wood chips.
Yeah, wood chips that are all fairly readily available, and but the key is to keep the bedding dry. Because moisture is where you'll get into problems. And then as far as composting, you want to have a minimum 140 degrees, but you don't want it to warm too much, because over 160 can wipe out some of the good bacteria. So you kind of want to keep the compost in that 140 degree range.
In having a chicken coop, do you have to take measures for things like heating, cooling, and ventilation? I mean, is that something you do, or can the chickens usually make it by themselves year-round?
I do basically the bare minimum for my chickens. In the summertime, I make sure that they have lots of access to shade. I'll give them ice water if it's a particularly hot day instead of just cold water. But as far as cooling, I think, you know, lots of fresh water, ice water if they need it, and lots of shade is sufficient.
And how about wintertime?
In the wintertime, I put down extra bedding in the coop, which helps to insulate it, and also close up some of the cracks that I have in the chicken coop for ventilation in the summertime. And then, of course, closing the coop up at night, the body heat of the other chickens helps them keep warm. And I do have a heated water container so that they still have access to fresh water through the winter.
Okay. Steve, any suggestions as to what people should be doing as far as the weather is concerned?
There are numerous plans on the internet. So as far as the design of the coop can go a long way, because ventilation is very critical, both in the summer, you don't want them to get too hot, or in the winter, you don't want them obviously to get too cold. Some people do, like if you're using straw, put in excessive straw or bedding so that they kind of can burrow into that. But some people use heat lamps, small electric heaters when it's the most intense cold. And sometimes people set up misters in the extreme heat.
Okay. I'm wondering, because one of our earlier callers mentioned about seeing chickens out in the street, how do you keep your chickens where they're supposed to be, Colleen?
All of my chickens have one wing clipped, so I've clipped actually, the first year that I had chickens, I clipped both of their wings, not really knowing how to do it, and they could still jump over fences. But they currently all have one wing clipped, which kind of throws them off balance, and they can't really get over anything that's pretty much over, like, 2 or 3 feet high. So they stay in my yard.
There's no place where they can wriggle through a hole somewhere.
Right.
So you have to be careful about your fencing then.
Right. And I do have two chickens that can still kind of, I'm not sure where they're getting out of the chicken pen, but they do get out of the chicken-specific area, and they generally tend to stay pretty close to their flock.
Mm-hmm. We have 1 minute left, so I'm going to bring up one more question that comes in from a tweet from Lisa, and she was wondering about educational reasons for people keeping chickens. And you think there's something that people, maybe especially children, can learn from having them around?
I think there definitely is. Teaching kids where their food comes from, especially animal products, is really important. It kind of gives kids a little bit more respect and for where their food comes from and the hard work that kind of goes into the things that they might be taking for granted.
Steve Ayers, if people want to find out something online, just basic information to get into this subject about keeping their own chickens, if their community allows it, is there some place they can go on the Extension website?
Yes, there's what's known as Illinois Trail. You go to ANSCI.illinois.edu, and then the Illinois Trail is a series of is a website that has information on horses, cattle, poultry, all different breeds or all different kinds of livestock, and so there's information there. And just Google backyard chickens, and they'll pop up numerous Extension websites throughout the nation.
We'll have to stop it right there. I hope it's been a useful hour on the question of backyard chickens. Our thanks to Colleen Wagner and Steve Ayers and our other guests today here on Focus on WYLL.
Students from University Laboratory High School in Urbana interviewed former U.S. servicemen and women to learn about their attitudes toward the military. All this week, we will hear their stories. Today, in part two of The Changing Military, you listen to one African-American's experience in the segregated service. Series producer Sanjay Koshy narrates the story written by UNI High student Simone Goworth.
Through World War II, soldiers who were not white served in the U.S. military in segregated units and experienced various kinds of discrimination. Joseph Smith, one of the first African-Americans to serve in the Marine Corps, was told by a recruiter that he would be treated just like any other Marine, but discovered otherwise.
And he said, well, if you join the Marines, you'll receive the same training that all of the other Marines receive. And I said, really? He said, yes. And I was too naive to ask other questions about would I be in the same camp, and same companies, and all of that sort of thing. My sameness wasn't the same as his, I discovered. He knew that I would go to a separate camp, and he trained under different circumstances.
Smith made part of the journey to boot camp in North Carolina in a segregated train car, an early sign of the differences that would shape his military career.
And finally the train came and stopped, so I started to go sit in one of the coaches, empty or nearly empty, and the conductor told me, you can't sit up here. I said, where do I sit? He said, you sit down there, down near the engine. So way down towards the end, a number of black people, seemed like 100. So I said to him, you don't expect all of them to get in one coach? He said, yes, and you're going to go there with them. It was the most miserable thing I've ever seen. So that was my introduction to being a Marine in North Carolina.
The racism of white soldiers and officers not only shaped their interactions with African-American personnel, but also damaged potential connections with people from local populations. Smith remembers how people viewed his unit when they were stationed in New Caledonia in the Southwest Pacific.
The white Marines had told the people who lived there. There were various ethnic groups. There were Javanese and then the Aborigines. They told them stories about us. So American military people had a way of spreading rumors about black people and native people shun us. It was very embarrassing to be walking down a road.
It was not until after the Second World War that this pattern began to change. On July 26, 1948, President Harry Truman signed Executive Order 9981, which called for the desegregation of the U.S. military and outlawed discrimination on the grounds of race within the military. But official recognition of the wrongs committed took even longer. In 2011, the Commandant of the Marine Corps issued a formal apology to all African Americans who had served under segregated conditions in World War II. Joseph Smith and others from the Montford Point Camp were finally honored at a ceremony in Washington, D.C. I'm Sanjay Koshy.
Harlem soldiers on the move, see them marching in the groove. Uncle Sam is mighty proud of Harlem